But right now, we're in a series called Weeds in My Garden, and I've been nervous about it. Many of you have been praying. God has been faithful. But I just want to say today is probably the most challenging message I'm going to give in this series. And so I would encourage you, we're talking about suicide. If you have a child that you don't want to hear this message, we have an incredible kids ministry going on right now. They're going to hear about Jesus. I promise you that. From all the way from nursery to sixth grade, you can feel free to take him to that if you want to. I'll also say this, if you're someone who's struggling right now with those thoughts, ideations, I would encourage you to go to riverchristian.church/mental health. Make sure you access that page and you take steps in getting help ASAP. It's interesting. I know there are some of you who have been not inclined to this sermon series. I just want to thank you so much for leading and loving well, because a sign of spiritual maturity is be others focused and realizing it's not about you. And I do hope, though, that you'll lean into the series, because all of us are going to interact with people that you love and that you care about that will at some point wrestle one of these issues. And we want to prepare you and in that moment to be a light in the darkness. And also, I want you to be ready to love and lead well. And I want you to be prepared to offer solid counsel in a biblical framework, but more than anything else, with Jesus Christ to offer hope. And to those of you who are new to this series, we're doing Weeds in My Garden, because here's the honest truth. A lot of times, we're not being honest. When somebody asks us how we're doing, we give them roses, just hoping we hide the weeds. You don't see the weeds in my garden. And we did a survey in our church, and we realized something, that our church needs a lot of help in navigating the weeds in our garden when it comes to mental and emotional health. If you want to catch up on these sermons, I'd encourage you to go to riverchristian.church/messages or download the app. They'll be right there for you. You can catch up in just in a matter of a couple of days. And there'll be someone of you, I just want to say, that you're going to, right now, you're thinking, I'm not suicidal. But let's be honest, most who died by suicide were probably not suicidal at one point. You might be going, I'm not going to do that. But most who died by suicide were at one point thinking, I'm not going to do that. You might be thinking that that would never happen to me, but most who die by suicide at one point numbered among you probably who were thinking that would never happen to me. And so I'm going to really stick close to my notes to make sure I'm saying what I want to say. There's three groups of people that are really heavy on my heart when it comes to this. I keep thinking about. I think about those of you who are Christians. You love God and you want to love people well. You care deeply about the people around you, but you see them battling deep, dark battles in their mind. You can hear the darkness in their words. You can see the pain on their face. And you want to say something, but you don't know what to say. You want to do something, you don't know what to do. You want to help, but you're not sure what that looks like. And I'm also thinking about those of you who've lost a loved one to suicide. There isn't a hole in your heart. Your heart is shattered. There's so many pieces and so many different places that you cannot even begin to articulate the pain. It comes in waves, and it could be in a mannerism of somebody you see at a grocery store, the smell of deodorant or cologne or perfume, or it could be, as you go on the radio and you hear their favorite band come on the radio. It could be you go to a friend's house, they unknowingly make their favorite meal. It could be that you walk down the hallway of your house, you see the room is left exactly as it was, or the photos on your walls, or their favorite holiday. It also comes at guilt and shame when you have good days and you feel horrible, even feel unhappy. I'm also thinking about those of you who are self-harming or you have suicidal thoughts. You are mothers and your fathers, your husbands and your wives, your sons and your daughters. And behind the smiles and the long showers is the never-ending fatigue. And there's this endless erosion of hope in your life. And the thoughts become whispers and the whispers become shouts. And then, you try to cover your ears, but then it just makes the shouts and noises even louder because the noise is coming from the inside. Suicide is now the third leading cause of death for teens and young adults, for those ages 15 to 24. 25% of adults, those that we saw standing up here, 18 to 24, have seriously considered suicide in the past month. 18% of high school students reported seriously considering suicide in the past year. If you want to understand how big of a problem this is, when you go to Zillow and you want to look for a place you want to live, and you're looking at, the crime rate and the murder rate, in 2023, there were, in America, 19,000 homicides in America in 2023. Yet, there were over 50,000 deaths by suicide. Which means in America, you're almost three times as likely that you'll die by suicide rather than homicide. This is why we're doing the series. This is a serious issue. In suicide death in America is one happens every 10 and a half minutes. There is one death for every 25 attempts. That means there's an attempt suicide every 27 seconds. That means from the moment we had our first service on Thursday night at 7 p.m. to the moment we end our last service, there'll be 66 hours. That will be 800,640 attempts in the United States to commit suicide. So what I want to do today is answer some basic questions surrounding suicide and self-harm. For this, is does the Bible talk about suicide? And the answer is yes. Depending on how you count, there's either six or seven mentions of people who died by suicide. There's Abimelech and Judges chapter 9. There's Samson in Judges chapter 16. Some consider his act suicide, some don't. So that's why that number is six or seven. And so he ended up basically pushing the pillars of the temple down on himself and killing all those involved, even including himself in the process. There's King Saul, who died by suicide, along with his armor bearer. Read about that in the next verse in 1 Samuel 31, verse 5. Then there's Ahithophel in 2 Samuel chapter 17, who used to be a friend of David's, and he turned against David, and then he died by suicide. And then we have 1 Kings 16, 18, a guy named Zimri. He plots his way to power and through deception, betrayal. He ends up catching up with him, and he sets his palace on fire around him. And then there's the most famous suicide of all, and that is Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Look what it says in Matthew 27. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. And when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Judas says, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." They said, "What's that to us? That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left, and he went away, and he hanged himself. Second question. Is suicide a sin? And the answer is yes. Scripture says, "You shall not murder." That is the sixth commandment. It is self-murder. We see in Scripture where God is the giver of life. Psalm says, "For with you is a fountain of life. In your light we see light." God's the giver of life. We're also told that our days belong to God. Job says, "A person's days are determined. You've decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed." Suicide is against God's will, and it robs us of a potential in Jesus Christ to make a difference in this world and a participation in this glorious mission to be bringing heaven to earth and to win people to Jesus. So the next question I'm going to answer is probably one of the most common questions when it comes to suicide. In fact, if you had me over, I would say this would probably be your top 20 questions list. And the question is this: is suicide an unforgivable sin? And with everything in me, I hope you hear my answer on this. If you don't take away anything else, you take away this. The answer is no. I'm absolutely amazed at how well this lie has creeped into the hearts and minds of people. That people think that someone who has died by suicide is not worthy of grace. Like they're not worthy of the forgiveness of God. Shame on anyone who's taught this or spoken this to you. I can't imagine looking at a family who's trying to pick up the pieces of their lives and speaking something that is so foreign to the biblical text and the gospel truth. The reason people sometimes say this is because you can't repent, they think, of sin, right? I can't repent of sin of suicide. Maybe they're saying, "Hey, make suicide the unforgivable sin so that they won't commit suicide." But listen, God doesn't bless lying to people. Listen, there are sins you commit every day that you don't repent of. Some of them you're aware of, some of them you're not aware of. We are not saved based on our last act on earth. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not saved based on our sinless performance. We are saved by a sinless Savior. The Bible is clear. There's only one sin that's unforgivable. And I'm going to teach you this so that when somebody says something to you like this, you can address it. Jesus says these words, and so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven. Every kind of sin and slander. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. What kind of sin can be forgiven? Every kind. Suicide is a kind of sin. It can be forgiven. What cannot be forgiven is when the Holy Spirit that convicts us and draws us to the heart of Jesus Christ, just like he did 86 people last week, exposes us to the gospel message and Christian community and reveals the truth of God's word and God's love in our lives, and a person rejects that grace that God offers through Jesus, and when they reject Jesus and they reject the Holy Spirit and live in a continual state of rebellion, the reason it's not forgiven is because they never received the forgiveness that Jesus offers. That's why it's unforgivable, because they never took hold of forgiveness in the first place. Listen to what Paul said, who wrote a good amount of the New Testament. Look what he said about his own life. Even though I was once a blasphemer, and I was once a persecutor and a violent man, say it with me, church, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and I acted in unbelief, but the grace of our Lord was, say it with me, poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul committed incredible sins. He blasphemed against God. He killed Christians. And yet, he responded to the call of grace, and he was forgiven of all of that. I always say this, the best decision you make in accepting Jesus trumps all the bad decisions you make after. The best decision you make in accepting Jesus will trump all of your worst bad decisions. So what do I do if I know someone that I love is struggling with suicidal thoughts? Number one, take it seriously. It's never a joke. It's so much better to be safe than sorry. Number two, talk about it. It's a myth that asking a person about suicide will encourage that person to attempt suicide. Satan is so good at lying to us and thinking that it's bad to talk about suicide. The exact opposite is actually true. That's what we're talking about right now. Asking someone directly about their suicidal feelings will often lower their anxiety level and act as a deterrent. Your openness and your concern in asking about suicide will allow that person's experiencing pain to talk about their challenges. And this may allow the person with suicidal thoughts to feel less lonely and less isolated and perhaps a bit relieved that they can actually talk to someone about it. Number three, talk about it carefully. You may not be ministering to a person who's struggling with thoughts and ideations, but actually the family who's lost someone to suicide. Don't use terms like committed suicide or kill themselves. Refer to it as death by suicide or simply that they died. I know this may sound trivial to some of you, but guess what? Words have power. We want to use our words to bring hope and bring help and not push people away that are in pain who need community the most. Number four, when you're talking about suicide, you talk about it directly. When you notice warning signs of suicide, it's important to ask directly about suicide. Don't ask, are you planning on harming or hurting yourself? That may be too vague. The person may not understand what you mean. So ask them, are you thinking about killing yourself? Are you thinking about suicide? If yes, ask, have you thought about how you would kill yourself? Have you decided when you would do it? And then you ask, have you done anything to get the things you need to kill yourself? And if they say yes, you immediately call 911, tell the dispatcher that the person's at risk of suicide. If available, ask for a mental health crisis professional and stay with that person, which leads to number five. Love them the way you want to be loved. Love them the way you want to be loved. We need to fight for them the way we want someone to fight for us. The second greatest commandment is this. Love your neighbor as what? Yourself. How would you want to be loved in that moment? Be an all-in friend. Go with them. I will check on you. I will make that call. I will mow your lawn. I will help out. It's better to save a life than worry about what they think about you or them being offended by you. John said these words, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with what?" Say it with me, "but with actions and in truth." Our love must motivate us towards action. Scripture also says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ." What is the law of Christ? To love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when you're carrying someone else's burdens, you are fulfilling the command to love God and love people. Number six, remember, it is not a sin to be sick. They are in a fight for their life. And Satan is trying to take the gift of life that God put in them. There are chemical malfunctions. There are situational trauma. There's clinical challenges that are all crashing down on them. The last thing they need is to feel belittled or to feel like our condescension. They need our help. So what do I do if I lost someone to suicide? Number one, remember that God knows what it's like to lose a child. He's been through that pain. He knows the pain of death. He knows the beauty of resurrection, but he knows the pain of death. Number two, remember this, that God is close. God is closer to you than you could ever possibly imagine. Cling to these words. The Lord is what? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. I can't think of a more brokenhearted, crushed in spirit circumstance than coming home to a letter or getting that unforgettable phone call, or like my family, the unforgettable text message, or discovering the body of a loved one. God is close to you, and his strength, I promise, will get you through. Number three, let go of any guilt, of any shame that you carry. Listen, it was not your fault. It is not your fault. Any guilt or any shame that you feel does not come from God, it comes from Satan. And he's using the terrible choice of a loved one, the horrible pain that you feel, to isolate you, deceive you, and rob you of joy and purpose and a future. You did what you thought was best. If you knew what you know now, of course you would have done things differently, but you didn't know then what you know now. And even if you did something wrong, and I've struggled living with this kind of guilt, even if you did something wrong, God's love for you in Christ Jesus has conquered it. Scripture says, forget what happened in the past and do not dwell on events from long ago. Here's what you do. You trust in the Lord. You trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, you submit to God and he will make your path straight. And I also remind you, we have an incredible ministry here called Grief Share. You're in a gut-wrenching, horrible season, and you can't rely on your own feelings or your own strength. You're going to have to lean on the Word of God, the strength of God, the love of God to pull you through, and otherwise, you'll make decisions that will make matters worse. You're going to have to cling to the Good Shepherd, and he will get you through. And I believe that we serve a God who loves you, as we sung about earlier, who is for you, who cares for you, and has a purpose for you. And I believe we serve a God who can bring beauty out of our ashes and strength out of our weaknesses. I believe that we serve a God who makes all things beautiful in his timing. And I'm not asking you to forget them. You can't. I'm not asking you to stop mourning. I still mourn. I'm not asking you to stop hurting in their absence. I'm telling you to stop carrying the guilt and the shame that Satan is trying to put on you to expand the devastating toll that he's already inflicted. So, what do I do if I'm struggling with self-harm or suicidal thoughts? You call 988 immediately, Suicide Crisis Lifeline. Encourage you to do that right away. Go to riverchristian.church/mental health. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Rick Warren, a pastor, lost his son to suicide, and he wrote this: people don't want to die, they want out of their pain. You don't have to end your life to end your pain. Suicide is like using a nuclear bomb that you don't ever need to use. And by the way, no emotions last forever. They come in waves. They come in, they crash, and they dissipate, and they fall away. No matter how intense the pain or the struggle, it cannot last forever. So never make a permanent decision based on temporary feelings. And realize you're not thinking clearly. It's not possible, listen, it's not possible to think logically and be deeply depressed and overwhelmed and exasperated at the same time. It's a lie to think, listen, it's a lie to think that those around you would be better off without you. That's a lie. It's a lie to think that those around you would be better off without you. If you sat in the homes of the people who mourn you, you would realize that's a lie from Satan. Your family wants you. Your friends want you. Your church wants you. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever doubt it. Recognize that Satan is trying to use this moment to rob you and your family. God has placed you and your family for a purpose. You are one of God's greatest gifts to them. Do not let Satan win. Get in community. You were never meant to do life alone. We are better together. Me, you, we all need God's safety net called a community around us. See, here's the truth. Joy is doubled in community and pain is cut in half in community, right? Joy is doubled in community and pain is cut in half in community. You cannot fight this battle on your own strength. You may need counselors. You may need medication. You may need a support group. But here's what you need with 100% certainty. You need the power of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's going to be dark days, right? And you can't pick and choose when they're going to come. And I want to make sure you got everything you need. And the most important thing you need is the Spirit of God living inside of you and your soul. And you can have the Holy Spirit power. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, listen, you are a sheep without a shepherd, and the wolves are coming. They're coming. So please come talk to someone. At the end of the service, as we're wrapping up, there's somebody at our crosses on your right and on your left. Please come talk to them about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My prayer is that our church will be hands and feet of Jesus as a suicide right here in Northeast Florida is on the rise. We want to know how to walk and lead and navigate through this. We also want to be a church that points people to the hope of Jesus Christ. So pray for yourself. We're about to have a time of worship. Why don't you come up here and ask prayer for yourself that you can be a support system for those who are barely hanging on, because I'm going to tell you right now, they're around you. They're around you, so may God give us eyes to see them. And maybe you're a Christian, but you know someone, a friend, a family member, a coworker, someone is suffering right now with mental illness. Would you be willing to come and pray for them? Just up here, just with somebody at the crosses or just at the steps, you just get on your knees and pray for them, or right here in front of our stage, just come up and pray on their behalf. I know some of you are so busy, and let's think about it. When's the last time you prayed for someone who was struggling around you like you should have? Why don't you do that right now? You know, many of you know someone. Why don't you pray for them? Would you right now be willing to bombard the gates of heaven on their behalf? I want you to stand with me right now. Let me pray over you as we're closing. God, the one thing I don't understand is how you see all the pain in this world. I don't know how you're there for every heart, how you see every car crash and every suicide and every abuse. And at the same time, you rejoice with those who rejoice. And even though I don't understand, I'm grateful that you are there for every trial, every hurt that we go through. And Lord, I'm thankful that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins, who conquered the grave, to make sure that this is not all that there is, that one day everything will be made whole. Something better, something brighter, something more beautiful. And Lord, we await that day when there will be no more tears. But until then, Father, I pray that you would give us strength to carry on and the wisdom to not fall victim to Satan's lies and deceit, and the courage to give hope and help to those around us. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. The whole church said, if there's any way to be a blessing to you, maybe today you need help. Maybe today you need Jesus. Maybe today you need to pray for somebody who needs help in your life. Please come right now as we pray the one who fights our battles for us. Can we give him praise right now, church? He doesn't give up on us. He will not give up on you.